lift my hands in honor and glory to the King. Hallelujahs and blessings and praises now I bring. And if you happen to ask, well, how are you, my friend? Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, yes, I'm blessed. Oh, and I know that I am, since Jesus took control of my life. Yes, I'm blessed. Oh, and I know that I am, for He promised me a new life. I'm blessed, and He walks with me, and He's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, how are you, my friend? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Oh, and of my life, I'm blessed. Oh, and I know that I am, for He promised me a new life.
I'm blessed.
Oh, and He walks with me, and He's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, how are you, my friend? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed to be in a place where I can hear God's word. Get to hear the book of life open before my very eyes, spiritually. And knowing that I was thinking just before church started, I said, well, the tape recorder is on. We're being recorded. So anyway, it's the way it is. We say that a lot of times, just talking, you know, to, you know, God hears everything we're saying and do, and He really does. And He's just keeping record. Sometime I, you know, when you go to school, you get a report card, and if it's good, you want to show it to your parents. But if it's not good, you don't want to show it. Or you don't even want to bring it home. And sometimes you might get away with that at home. But we can't get away with that with God, can we? He knows. You know, like they say around the Christmas holiday, you know, they say if you've been good, you might get a gift of some kind. But if you hadn't been naughty, then you won't get anything. You know, I don't think God really had that in mind altogether. You know, whether we want to see if we're going to be naughty or to see how good we're going to be. I really don't think that's altogether what He's thinking. But that's just the way He does it. You know, everything is recorded. He knows what we're doing. And it's really, I appreciate having that open up to us and let us know, you know, what, you know, we're serving a merciful God. Even though He know what's going on in our lives, He's a merciful God. And we don't have to impress, we can't impress Him, you know, we can't do anything to get on His good side altogether, although we do, but that's, you know, although sometimes our motives may not be correct all the time, but I don't think that shake Him up, you know, because we're not doing this with the right motive. But anyway, I'm just so thankful tonight that we're in a place where we get to hear the Word of God and to be among people that are searching the Scripture and to know what God is wanting, expecting of us, and just learn about God and what, you know, what I can say. This is, you know, I have pick up on other ministers what they say, and Brother Tucker just talk about, you know, if you're going fishing, you don't take fish stuff that they don't like. You know, you find out what fish like. You know, I like strawberries. He mentioned strawberries. Fish don't like strawberries, so don't do that. Don't take them strawberry. They won't like it. So we have to find out what God like. You know, we're serving Him, so we want to be good servants to the Lord. So we have to find out things that He likes. The Bible tells us about some things He hates. You know, He hates pride. So we know that. So although we can't just say that I'm not proud and I don't have any pride in my life, but we know He don't like it. We know He hates it. So we have to do things to try to help not have that, and to try to. And a lot of that, I appreciate Brother Smith bringing that to our attention. You know, a lot of times we, you know, the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and like we can do that, you know. I don't know if we can even do that in ourselves, mortify the deeds of the flesh, although the Bible says do that. It's going to take God and what He's saying. Even when you have a collection of knowledge, and even understand the knowledge that you have, you still got, you know, you're not quite there yet. You know, you still got to be able to, you know, be tested. You know, I mean, sometimes the test is just to let me know that what I would do. And then some of the tests, well, like God said about Abraham and his He put Abraham through some pretty severe tests, and he said. Then he made a statement saying, "Now I know about Abraham." You know, he after he went through some tests, and you know, God's gonna be the same with us. You know, I mean, I don't like tests, but I mean, I don't like trials, but I need to know for myself. You know, something you just have to, experience. You know, this is just comical, but anyway, we was visiting Leanna. My sister-in-law went with us, and you have to have your driver's license to get in. And she forgot her driver's license, left me home, so she had to go back and get them. Of course, it's any of those facilities down there, it's a process that takes getting through all of the stuff to get in there. But anyway, she had to go back and get a license. So the next time she was going, I just was kidding to her, asked her that, don't forget your driver's license. And of course, she didn't forget them, because all the trouble she went through, she got lost. She couldn't, her son was meeting her halfway, and she had my wife's iPhone. She didn't know how to use the iPhone. She didn't even know how to call out on it. And it was, she couldn't even call her son. They were supposed to be meeting, and she couldn't even use the phone. So anyway, she was having problems. And so she remembered that. I said that, don't forget your license. But she didn't forget them, because all the trouble she went through to go back and get them that first time, she won't forget her license forever, I'm sure, anymore. So anyway, some of the things that we go through in life, we don't have to be reminded. There are some things you go through in life, some you don't have to ask anybody to do. Do you ever remember doing that? Will you do that again? You won't do that again, because you remember what trouble you had doing it the first time. So you'll remember. It's written, almost etched in stone. You won't forget it. There's some things in life, some of our experiences, you know, that we have, some of them are hard, and you don't forget. You know, those are the ones. I wish the good ones was that easy to remember, but usually they're a little bit harder to remember. But hard, bad things you go through, you don't have to worry about forgetting those. They're there. You don't forget. So anyway, God has his way of doing things, and that's what we learn. It's how God wants us, the operation, even in the this type of church service. Like we come in here, we're not have a plan, a menu, or a program that we want to go by. So we know we wanting to feel out after God and want to be spirit led, and we want God's blessings on our lives and on what we do. And so it's somewhat of a risk, you know, when you come into a service like that to not be prepared. If you like to be prepared in life, you know, something we can prepare for naturally in life, but something we just gonna have to trust the Lord with. You know, and that's part of our preparation, like even, you know, what we're doing, you know, talking about it, you know, talking about God. And to me, it get my mind accustomed, get acclimated to the things of God. When we begin to even see, you can't hardly go much, you know, very long before you have to start talking about the old days, when they tell you about the cow that chews the cud and all that. You know, you hear the word of God and you have to go over it and talk about it again. I was talking to Sister Watson about, she put me on the spot. She asked me about the bride members, you know, when they can rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, what are they going to be doing in that 1,000 years? So I was kind of getting it mixed up, and so Brother Smith wasn't too far away, and I would say, Brother Smith, of course, I mentioned the devil going to be released for a little season, but that's after the 1,000 years. So anyway, I was off the mark there a little bit, but anyway, we got it all straightened out. But I'm glad that, and see, I need to go over that again. See, Brother Leninger, one time we was here on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and he went over the book of Revelation, not detail, but he mentioned every chapter and talked about the time frame in each one of them. And this 20th chapter that Brother Smith talked about today, that's a 2,000-year time frame, 2,000-year period. And I made a little deal on him, Brother Leninger. He went over every chapter in Revelation. I wrote it down, but I have it at home. I didn't have it with me. And I went home, looked at it, and that's right, you know. It's 2,000-year time frame in the 20th chapter of Revelation, you know, from the restored church to even that last battle was the Gog and Magog, the eighth day, the second thousand-year time frame, the second half of it. But anyway, I'm just so thankful. I have a thankful heart. I have gratitude in my heart for even Brother Smith's his work, his labor, you know, in the gospel. He's laboring in the gospel, giving his life, dying out to his will to work for God. And that's what we're endeavoring as well, to die out to our will, to be able to work for God and to allow our lives to be aligned with with God's work, with the gospel. That the light, I feel like we're getting, I said, well, I know he's talked about this before, but it seemed like he brought out more light on those, especially about the books and the book of life. Do you think there was more light on that? I'm sure he's mentioned it before, but it seemed to me like he either I didn't hear it good before, but the more I hear it, the more it's more enlightening to me to understand, you know, what John was talking about in that book there. And then also he referenced back to Malachi 3:16, the book of remembrance. Book of remembrance, and the books were opened there in that 12th chapter, 12th verse of the 20th chapter, the same books. Those are record books. The way I look at it, I start to say, in my Bible, I should have just wrote records. You know, these are records that God are keeping. So anyway, aren't you glad that God is helping us? You know, we're serving such a great God. It's I don't want to, you know, just take things for granted and assume, you know, that everything's gonna be all right. I know all the effort that go forth and that even in the early church, that the effort that went forth to for us to even have this, you know, if it had not been written on paper or something, that what they call that before the days of paper, they had parchment. See these historians, but anyway, they wrote on whatever they was available to them at that time. You know, of course, the printing press, I have to get Brother Keith to tell me, the printing press came out, what, 1500s? And they said the first thing they printed on it was the Bible. So that shows how important God's work is, his word. And so anyway, we're blessed people to be able to hear things that will change our lives if we begin to let our lives be touched by it. I was thinking about this scripture that talks about wheat. It's a scripture that talks about God has given us the finest of the wheat. Is it finest of the wheat? And I was thinking about that being the finest of the wheat is bread. You know, you got wheat in the field, the grain is on in a stalk and in a little, I don't know what they call it before, the grain is threshed out. But you got grain of wheat, and then that grain of wheat has to be ground into powder, and then the powder has to be made into bread. So all those processes have to take place before we get bread. You know, just a grain of wheat is okay. You know, you can eat that, but it's not the finest of it. And that's what's, you know, our lives. We are taken through these processes to become what the Lord would have us to be. You know, we have to stay in the process. We're not what we are going to be or what we even want to be. But if we stay in the process that God has provided for us, then we can become what the Lord would have us to be. And that's what I want to be. I like we talk about a church, a glorious church. I like to be a part of a glorious church. We have a wonderful church, but we're going to have a glorious church, one that will be shining forth, and where the vessels, each vessel in this church, will be shining forth as gold and will have an effect. Wouldn't you like to have an effect on someone's life? And I know you meet people and you got family that you talk to, and I know you probably have people that depend on you, that call on you. I got a niece that she was in the hospital and had a couple of stents put in. And I called her yesterday evening. And she was saying, I can't remember how she said it, but anyway, she was telling me, I knew you'd called me. I could count on you. And I didn't even know she was thinking that way. You know, I mean, it just, people are counting on us. People are counting on us. And sometimes I feel almost like, what can I do? But, of course, I got a big family, and I think about all this wonderful truth that I get to hear, get to be a part of, and it's hard to share this because I was visiting with her. I got three sisters that live here in Arkansas, and my oldest sister was in the hospital, and she's home now. She's better. And I was visiting at a place, and my other sister that lived close by her was talking about reading this scripture in Revelation about the streets of gold. And she was talking to her husband about it and was also reading the scripture in fourth chapter of Thessalonians about the trumpet will sound and dead in Christ will rise. Where do you start? You know, I just tried to talk to her about the book of Revelation having A lot of the book of Revelation is symbolic. You know, I didn't get to talk to a whole lot about it, but I was just, what I'm saying, you have to have people that are really receptive. You know, I mean, she was talking about it, but she was talking about what she thought it meant. And I didn't feel like I should correct her on it. I felt bad because I should have told her what I thought it meant. But I don't know if it would have done any good. You know what I'm saying? because this is a different language that it's almost like the Bible talks about, like the Jews spoke Hebrew and then I don't know all the other nations, but there's another nation around close to them that spoke Ashdod. And it's a different language. But I know somehow or another we're going to have to, and you can't just wait on it. Sometimes I feel like I'm waiting to the day that I'm going to be more effective. You know, that day may never come. I may have to just, whatever I can do, I need to just do it. You know, I might make a mess of it, but anyway, I might just have to do it. Sometimes I say, I know that what we're getting, they're not getting this. But how do you help them? You look for a door to open, you listen for one of the right words to be said or whatever to be able to do that. But I don't know. But I'm just saying that I feel bad at myself sometimes because they, you know, I'm around people that love God. We talk about prayer all the time, you know, because we need to pray. And they, I got one sister, they go to prayer every day at noon. So I'm talking to them, you know, but I don't try to teach a lot in the Bible because I don't sense that they're really wanting to hear what we hear all the time, you know, what we hear the truth about it. But I'm sure that day will come. I just feel like it. I mean, we spend a lot of time in the Word of God, and I don't like wasting my time. You know, I feel like I should be effective somehow or another. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but with God's help. But I know that we hear good things, and I just pray that maybe when the time is right to be able to see, we have a. I know Brother Tucker didn't wasn't too strong on family reunions, but anyway, I felt like the. I should kind of keep, that's a pretty much the only touch I have with some of my family is when we go to the family reunion. And they want to have one in Little Rock here this next year. But anyway, I have such a burden for family members, you know, and I know you can be an example just having the right spirit, you know, and just treating people right. All that's good. But somehow, I think we can be able to explain a lot more about the gospel, or what, you know, understanding I have about it. That's the burden I have, is to be able to, I don't want to speak on deaf ears or anything like that, but is there any way you can make it interesting? Is there any way you can, I remember Brother Tucker talking about feeding animals, cows, and sometimes you have to, they may not be thirsty, you have to give them something, give them salt to make them thirsty. Is that possible? With some animals, you have to, they may not want to drink, but you give them salt, then they want to drink. You know, you kind of help them to have an appetite or a taste for something. You know, you give them something to where they'll want to drink. You know, they may not want to drink at first, but you give them something to get them thirsty. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, that's my mindset. You know, the Lord can help us. I remember Him telling about this man. He was preaching sometimes they got the town square. You know, people they used to go to the town on Saturday, and this man was preaching at the town square, and he was not getting very good response. He wasn't getting very much of a crowd. And then later on, here come another man to the same town square, but he wasn't preaching. He was selling something. He was selling like a liniment or something. But he was drawing the crowd. And the people was coming out to him. They were flocking to him. And this person that was watching all this, he couldn't understand. He said, well, what's the difference? And this man was preaching that he didn't get anybody to listen to him. He didn't draw a crowd. But this other man here was selling liniment, and here the people were flocking. And he said, well, the man that was preaching the truth like it was a lie. But here the man that was selling liniment, he was preaching a lie like it was the truth. See, so you might have to kind of fix things up, you know. You know, you have to make it sound good. How you do that? Make it sound good. And we don't want to preach a lie, but if we're going to do it, I guess you better make it sound like it's the truth. So anyway, so it's how you do things. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to do things the way it would be effective. You know, to be effective in what I'm doing. So I'm thankful tonight that we're in a church that we hear so many things. I've heard a story, you know, just, you know, experience after experience. And, of course, a lot of it, you know, just things that people went through, you know, things that they did. But I've been blessed to hear it. And I can't repeat all of it, but I've been blessed. It's added to my life. I grew up in the country, but it wasn't quite like some of the other places that people grew up in the country. Because we were sharecroppers. I share some of the Sister Crow. I don't think they were sharecroppers. They were farmers. But anyway, we dealt with the same problem. They were sharecroppers. They picked cotton. See, she can talk my language. She picked cotton. And I don't have to guess at what she's talking about when she say about picking cotton. I know what she's talking about. I've done that, so I know that what that's all about. I wasn't a great cotton picker, but anyway, I did pick cotton. I know what that's all about. But anyway, I thank God for all that He was. I got through that time frame and. And when, believe it or not, you know, kids didn't hang around home too long. They left as soon as they could when you were doing, you know, out there picking cotton. My brothers and sisters, they all left home early. I guess you know why. But anyway, I was the first one in my family to graduate from high school, and I don't know how I managed to do that, but anyway, you know, I had to pick cotton, but. But anyway, I survived. But anyway, God has been good to me. And I'm so thankful. And you look back on some of the things that you go through and you just wonder, how in the world did I survive? But God was merciful. God was merciful to me. I count it a blessing. To even just hear what we hear. But then I feel bad that I don't want to just sit here and soak up all that I hear but I know God has His time frame that He work in, and I want to do that. I want to work with God and work with His people and be a part of what He's doing in His frame, you know, His time frame. I think, you know, sometimes you feel like, well, I could be doing more than what I'm doing. But I think about something like Daniel. Look at Daniel. We read about his work, his words, and the dreams that he interpreted. When the children of Israel went to Babylon, he went to Babylon. You know, you think, well, why did, you know, God not let, you know, he was a man of God. But he ended up in Babylon with the rest of them, you know. No matter how many, but God used him. So God doesn't always take you out of the circumstance that you're in, although you may be doing God's will where you are. And that's what I want to do. I want to make sure I'm doing God's will, although I might feel like, well, I think I could be doing more than what I'm doing. But I want to be in God's will. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line, is to be doing what God wants me to do. And I'm thankful tonight to be in a place where I can learn and learn patience and learn all of the things that I need to learn to be a servant in the kingdom of God. So God has blessed each one of us to, like I say, we're not at the end of the journey, but we're in the middle of it. We're working, and we're on the journey. We're working in the kingdom of God. I want to take a bow, but I was thinking about Brother Tony Rouse. You still sing, Brother Tony? Would you like to sing tonight? All right. You're welcome to sing if you want to come up. I'll step back and let you sing, brother.
I'll turn this on. It's on. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know that? Can you put great is thy faithfulness up on the screen there, please? Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I glorify God for your attitude toward me. When I come here, I feel so welcome. So I don't praise you. I praise God. That's what Jesus says. So thank you for being so kind. Okay? So God bless you. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But everybody sing, okay? Not just me. Whatever. Everybody sing now, okay?
All right.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own their presence to cheer and
faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, I shall have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, poured unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Was that fun? God bless you.
It's been a good day. All day has been a good day today. Got up this morning. It was just beautiful out. The air was cool. The sun was bright and warm. Come to church, Bible study, and Brother Smith just explained things just so clear and easy. It was just like I had a funnel in my head, and it was just dropping right in. I really appreciate that. I was thinking when I first started coming to church, when I was younger and a teenager, I didn't understand a thing, but when I went through things in my life and I found my way back, or the Lord showed me how to get back, I used to try to avoid problems. I'd come to church and this would come against me and that would come against me. I thought, man, I'm doing something wrong. And then you find out today, and earlier in life, you all probably knew it, but it's the Lord just trying you on things to just see how you are. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to try to get out of it? You're going to try to skirt around it, go around that, like I've heard before, try to go around that mountain again, I haven't learned it yet, but I thought, I appreciate that, and it made me want to desire to, just don't take it wrong, but to know God in a better, deeper, more loving, kind way, because of, I never really saw him as the way Brother Smith was describing him, because it depends, I guess, on the who you sit under and how things are done and all, because I hear things in here, and like I said, don't take anything that I'm saying wrong, but it seems like the more elderly ministers, they had a different way of approaching things and teaching the people things than I would say like than Brother Smith does, because he said that at first when he learned it and he said he'd seen that light click on, he'd say, okay, they got it. And then you'd see him backing up, and boy, he was just really wanting to get in there and that. And then after a while, he said he learned that they wasn't quite ready, they understood it, but just to incorporate it. And I thought, I didn't realize that, and I'm sure the elder ministers didn't realize that. They thought, well, once you got it, you the nose to the grindstone, you just keep going. But I'm glad that God is the way he is. That he doesn't see me like Brother Durham or Brother McGowan, anybody else, that he sees me how I am. It's scary that he can hear my thoughts. I don't like that. But because I don't like my thoughts half the time. It's like, oh my gosh, is anybody around? Can they tell by looking at me what I'm thinking, But I'm glad that he's a kind, loving, merciful God, that he sees my shortcomings, my where I fall down and I try to get back up and act like nothing happened, and go on and I try to correct my mistakes. So I mean, my bag is just full today. I just appreciate this day and God's ministry and all you all people here. Just, I mean, I just, Brother Smith said it today and it just fits so well. And I, and it was like, it's one of those things like the light bulb clicked on saying, oh, I forgot. We're not Republic and Little Rock North. It's us. We're it. It's all us now. And I, it just happened and I didn't even realize it happened. It just, you know, like spreading butter on bread there. It just smoothed right over. No problem at all. And I'm just glad to be here, and I appreciate what all I've been taught and the things that I've learned from you all. You don't realize, just, you don't have to say a word, but somebody's always watching, and I learn by observance pretty much because I hate to get in trouble. I mean, you know, the Lord knows that, so and I just hate to get in trouble. I'll just beat myself up if I do something wrong because I go to, every day before I go to work, I'll pray. I say, Lord, help me do a good job for my employer today. Let him be pleased with the work that I do, and let me do a good job for him. And I feel the same way, you know, trying to serve God. It's like, I probably don't say it in the same way, but it's like, I hope I can live a good life for you today. I know I'm not a good salesman, Brother Tally. I couldn't sell water to a dying horse if he needed it. But if I could just be... like Brother Smith said, an epistle read and written, you know, and all that, and they can see by my conversation what kind of person I am, that they might see, well, there is something about that person. He's not like everybody else that says they're Christians, and they're not Christians, you know. You'd want something to show forth for it. So it's by God's mercy and grace and by you all living the life in front of me and just love me and caring for us all. I appreciate that, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters.
I'm thankful it's almost my birthday.
I'm thankful that I have parents.
I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Some of you may have laughed at him because he made the statement he's thankful it's almost his birthday, but some of us are just thankful we still keep having birthdays. I'm thankful to be here tonight and to feel this covering that we've had over through the day, to hear the good things that we've heard, and to understand or get a better understanding. We may not understand all of the things of God, but we're working on it. And I thought, here's Brother Oates was talking a while ago. You know, he's kind of quiet and you know, he observes. And I thought, well, that's the reason the Lord put me here. He give him somebody to watch. Every time he gets in trouble, I don't dare not to do that. You know, Brother Tucker used to tell us, you know, said a wise person learned from others' mistakes, and an average man learned from his own mistakes. He said, the problem is some people are fools, they never learn. And I thought of the time, one time, Brother Tucker got up, I believe it was on a Saturday night service, and told us that when you come in late in a service, don't just walk in and walk up to the platform and sit down, you know. Said, everybody in the church is watching you. You know, and said, you're disturbing the whole service. For some unearthly reason, my wife and I and our family come in late the very next service. You know. So... We were doing what he told us to do. You know, we slipped in and sat out in the seat, you know, toward the back of the church. Hardly anybody knew that we'd slipped in. Of course, everybody in the church knew we wasn't there because I wasn't sitting on the platform like I normally did. And Ann was sitting toward the back of the church, which she normally didn't do. So, you know, we was kind of out of place, to be honest with you. But we were doing what he told us to do. And he was up speaking and wanted a scripture, and he looked around to see, you know, he wanted me to get the scripture for him is what he wanted, and I wasn't there. He turned and looked to get that chair, and it was empty, just like it was before, you know. I was thinking, my Lord, do you know, when he looked at it the first time, it told him it was empty. What did he have to look the second time for? He couldn't believe it, Brother Whitaker said, you know. Brother Wayne, where's Brother Wayne at? Stuck my hand up. I said, Brother Tucker, we come in a little bit late, and that's the reason we're back here. He said, you've got no business sitting down back there. Why don't you get up out of that? Get up here where you belong. So I was in trouble. And then my wife, everybody knows my wife's voice is just very mellow. It doesn't carry very far, right? She turned to me and whispered, I wished he'd make up his mind. Brother Tucker, I think, could have heard a pin drop at the back of the church. His ears were that keen. Well, it was that day anyway. Sister Ann, I have made up my mind. I want him up here on the platform. Woo! Needless to say, we tried to make sure that we was never late again. I think we had a flat tire, or it might have been a wall socket had burned out in our house, and when our outlets when they were burning out, they stunk. They had a real bad odor to them, and when they got to burning, our house was wired with aluminum wiring. Is what the deal was, brother. Jerry knows what I'm talking about. Back several years ago, they come out with several mobile homes for a short span of time there. They manufactured mobile homes with aluminum wiring. And then they found out that a lot of that aluminum wiring was setting those homes on fire. It wasn't able to take the current that was going through them. And what God was doing for us, he was making me change out the outlets, you know, in our home. And the way the wiring was done, they would wire from one outlet to the next. There was no pigtails involved. So you could plug into an outlet back there at that back wall, and all of these outlets were activated because the current was going through every one of them, just like there was something plugged into all of them. Well, nevertheless, to make a long story short, when those things started burning out, what they'd do, they'd get real hot, and they'd give off an odor. And brother, I'm telling you what, it stunk. And when we detected that odor, we got busy until we found that outlet and we fixed it. Wasn't no putting it off. But nevertheless, we were blessed in that area that God helped us keep our house from burning down, but he sure got us into trouble with Brother Tucker. But we're still here, and we're still, as Brother Tally said a while ago, we're still privileged to hear these truths that we hear. And I'm still convinced that we're in a gold mine. You know, somebody, you know, according to history, there was a lot of gold rushes that took place back through the years in the history of this country. You know, somebody announced that there would be gold in a certain location. Man, I mean, they'd line up and they'd have a gold rush, you know, to get in there and stake a claim in order to have a spot to work for the advantage of getting gold. Really, we are to announce to this world that we've found a gold mine. You know, but it's like Brother Tally also said, you can't talk to people. You can't tell them about this. You can't explain to them, you know, because we're talking a different language than what this world is used to. And kind of takes you back into the Old Testament where that they was building the Tower of Babel. Remember there that they was working on this tower, and then all of a sudden the language was confounded. Didn't mean that the language was necessarily changed to a different language, but they couldn't understand each other. And in the building trade, well, in any trade, there's certain things, there's certain terminology that's used in every building trade, or I guess in any trade that you were to get into. There's certain terminologies that's used in that trade that is not used anywhere else, you know? And if you're not familiar with that terminology, then they can get around you and start talking that stuff, and you're standing there looking at them thinking, I don't understand what you're saying. What are you trying to tell me? But they know what they're talking about. You know, these two guys standing here talking electricity, they know what they're talking about. You know, you get into field electronics, two guys standing there talking about it, they know what they're talking about. You walk up and you start listening to them, you're thinking, boy, I sure hope they know what they're talking about, because I ain't got a clue what they're saying, you know. Get into computers. Man, you know, there's some guys that can step in here and start talking, and if you don't know what their language is, you're lost. You know, and I don't have to point fingers at you. I'm lost. I know how to turn one on, and I'm learning a little more about it all the time, you know. And there's some terminology that I picked up just from listening to other people talk. But there's so much about it that I don't know. You know, somebody wants to trade out with me right now, I'd switch with you in a hurry. I'd trade with you. You know, if you know something about computers, I'll just trade with you. I'll give you what I don't know if you'll tell me all that you do know. You know? And Brother Smith said today, he said, you know, when he first come to this people, he learned real quick that there was so much that they knew, he just decided he'd give up everything he knew to take on what they did know. When we come to this body of people, I had the same feeling in my heart that, Lord, I want to know what this people knows. I want the understanding that they have. I want a knowledge of what they have, this knowledge that they have. I want a vision of what God's doing in the earth. I want that vision in my heart. And I still have that same kind of feeling tonight. God's doing something in the earth. That's the thing about it. God's doing something. And if you're sitting here and you don't recognize that God's doing something, then you don't have a vision. You don't see. I'm telling you, you don't understand it. But look, God's doing something in the earth, and we're part of it. And that's astounding to me. Just, you know, just a dumb old country boy that ain't got sense hardly to get in out of the rain, and, you know, a cloud hopper, a guy that ain't got much education. But here I am in the middle of God's great kingdom in the earth today. My Lord, got a vision, got an understanding of some of the great things of God. Got something down in my heart, Brother Tally. I understand that there's